Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. No, not our panel discussion. Just our discussion. Just our discussion. It's time for book picks, and our good friend Matt Tannenbaum is here.
Whatever his name is.
You know what? I somehow I've lost the script. It doesn't matter because I know the drill.
Right.
I don't need words in front of me. I've done this before. Matt Tannenbaum is the proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts.
Joe Donahue is the proprietor of.
Yeah, I'm the host of the
show.
What
do you call this?
Yeah, the roundtable.
Roundtable.
Yeah. So Matt comes every week. We have an independent bookseller from the area come in and tell us about great books that are on the store shelves. The thing I love about Matt is that he comes in and tells us about books that are on store shelves that you didn't even know existed. So that's the cool thing about what Matt does. We love when he's here. We haven't seen him in a long time. He's been out traveling. He's the singing bookseller, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Tannenbaum.
You said you wouldn't tell.
Welcome to the program. Very nice to have you with us.
Hi, Joe.
As always.
Good morning.
Your dear friend, and I love having you here. And so we have a cool list. I was looking it over this morning, and if I had my notes in front of me, I'd be able to tell you what my impressions were.
What your anticipation is. So I only have maybe one or two that you haven't heard of.
Okay. All right.
But the rest of them are a little more traditional. We're going to start with one of my favorite novelists, Richard Powers. And you haven't had him on the show yet.
Now, Richard Powers is going to be on our book show, and we have taped it, and it's going to be set for air, I think, in a week or so. And it's, boy, is he great.
I've been reading him since the first novel, Three Farmers on the Way to a Dance, back in 1985. That was a little paperback I found in a warehouse and fell in love with this guy. And then I read, there's the notes. Then in quick succession, I haven't read all the novels. Some of them, but one of them I read, and I actually read in a advanced copy, and there was not a typo, but a bit of a mistake where he has the two boys listening to a Tanglewood concert in June.
Oh.
And I called the editor and told him Tanglewood doesn't broadcast in June. And they changed it. He changed it to the Philharmonic. So Richard Powers has no love for me. I made him change, you know, probably cost him like $50 or something in the galley. Anyway.
So you're the guy that does that.
Yeah.
You're that guy. Okay.
I only did that once.
All right.
To him.
By the way, our show is going to air on May 8th. So
okay.
Tuesday, May 8th. But so, it's a lovely conversation.
So Richard Powers' new book, The Overstory, is the story of trees. And it starts with, he has it divided up into, what is it, roots, trunk, crown, and seeds. He starts with
it's
nine
really all
characters.
You need, right?
That's all you need. That's all you got. That's all there is. Everything else is just fluff.
As it were. And this is, fascinating overlapping stories, right, of how this all comes together and these very disparate characters and how they...
I'm not sure. I hadn't finished the whole book. I'm just maybe a quarter, a third of the way into it. And taking it nice and easy, don't want to...
All right, well, then I won't say anything.
Don't this is radio. Don't say anything.
No, I won't. I won't ruin the experience.
I read a review of Powers. Let's say I went to some of the reviews. I wanted to see what people said. And Kingsolver gave him a great review in the front of the Times a few weeks ago. So I'll glance at a review. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but these four or five strangers and how their influence of the trees and how their stories all come together.
So they're all going to come together.
Yeah.
Right. So what I was going to say was I don't want to read too much. As a reader, I reserve the right to self-discovery.
Mm.
I want to find out and be surprised and not know it was coming, of course. But the other thing is that I want to read everything about him before I read the book.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so fascinated with this guy as a writer.
And he goes and basically, I'm sure you know this then if you read about him prior, but he just went to go kind of veg under the redwoods for a really long time and started to work on this this book.
Yeah.
You think of how nature changes you. Anyone I think who's seen the redwoods understands just the enormity and how that changes you. And he just became fully immersed and wrote this most amazing, very hefty novel about that experience.
We all traveled the Milky Way together, he says, trees and men. He writes, quoting the naturalist John Muir, who wrote, in every walk with nature, one receives far more than he seeks.
Mm.
So, yeah, so I can imagine that he immerses himself.
Good
that
stuff.
That he immersed himself. So these are great characters, and they're Richard Powers characters, and they're he can, like a what a good writer does is, we talk about Grace Paley, I just heard recently, used to say, you don't want too many doorknobs in a story. You want to get the character up and through the door and out into the world. You don't want to have him turning this doorknob and going into the kitchen and then going into the backyard and then going outside. Just shoot it right through. And Powers does that. In the first paragraph, in the first page of the first story, he has the couple getting drunk on roasted chestnuts. In the next sentence, they're married. In the next sentence, they become American citizens. They were immigrants in Brooklyn in the 1850s. So he just moves you right through. But you get carried along. You know who these people are somehow. This is what writing is.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I like that idea of no doorknobs.
The other guy who is a great writer, who's sadly no longer with us, is Dennis Johnson.
Passed away.
Just recently, yes.
Just recently passed.
And I've only read one of his books before. I read Train Dream. Somebody pressed it on me years ago. I haven't read Fiskadoro. I haven't read
Tree of Smoke. You never read Tree of Smoke?
No. And
oh,
I,
Tree of Smoke.
George,
great.
You told me to read Tree of Smoke years ago, and I still haven't.
Yeah, you still can.
I will. Thank you.
And Train Dreams.
Train Dreams. Did you read that?
No, yes.
The novella.
Yeah.
The Far West.
Yes.
The Far West. And of course, Powers is in the Far West, mostly. Although he's in the Midwest part of the time.
So this is a collection of stories, correct?
This is Dennis Johnson's latest or last collection of short stories called The Largesse of the... What is it? The Sea Maiden?
The Largesse of the Sea Maiden, yes. Stories by Dennis Johnson, winner of the National Book Award. And it is a... I've only read one of these stories, which I believe was...
Which were the first ones? Silence?
Well, it was a collection somewhere. They'd taken on an excerpt.
Okay.
And right. It was one of the stories, so I don't even remember now which one. But it was just really great stuff.
I love the short story writer who takes us on different adventures with every story. You finish one story in a collection, and you're exhausted. You've gone through with right. all the characters.
Yeah.
And then he or she takes you on a different tack altogether. And I think that's marvelous. That's what I loved about The Powers also, that the first nine stories are all these different characters. What's going to happen eventually, I'm not sure yet. But Johnson is, again, a guy with no doorknobs. You go right to it.
The Largesse of the Sea Maiden.
Published by Random House.
Yes. All right.
All right, here's the next one, Joe. Here's the one that you might not have known. And I want to thank one of my customers who turned me onto this book by ordering it. This is Werner's Nomenclature of Colors. Originally published in, 1812?
Yeah.
And this is the, or that that was, right, Werner was a mineralogist. Who discovered and who created this chart of colors so they were standardized, so everybody knew what you were talking about. Kind of like the creation of longitude, so everybody knew where the boats were at a certain time. Before longitude, there was no oceanic discovery.
You had no way to know where the doorknobs were.
Right. So, and this book was published by, and this was, the Werner's Nomenclature was collected by this guy, Patrick Syme, a Scottish flower painter.
Now, this was the book that Darwin used to describe the colors in nature on his...
Right. And if you see in the back, there are charts that Syme made of the color, the naming the color... That Werner named.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, and in nature, in an animal, it looks like this. In a mineral, it looks like this. Can you read the script? It's very hard to read.
It is hard to, well, it's hard to understand it too, right? One obvious is Neck of Mallard.
Right. So what color is that?
That's duck green.
Duck green.
Yeah. Okay. That one. And then there's sap
easy.
Green. Yeah. But like grass green is, Scarborus nobilis. Any idea what that is?
I don't.
General appearance of grass fields is the vegetable, a sweet sugar pear.
Is the
vegetable.
Vegetable.
And the mineral would be mica.
Yeah.
Euromica. That is fascinating.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
This comes along with another book that I don't have with me because we've been selling it so well. I didn't get it, save a copy, called The Secret Lives of Color by, what's her name, Carissa St. Clair, that has stories of the origins of colors. And I can't really describe much more of it because I haven't seen it in a long time. But these two books, The Werner's Nomenclature and Secret Lives of Color, are big treats for us this winter.
And by the way, if you're looking to redo your living room, these are some lovely color
ideas.
That's
right. Okay.
Little swatches for you, if you will. Sulfur yellow, the yellow parts of a large dragonfly.
Say it again.
Yellow parts of a large dragonfly.
Right, the yellow parts.
And then the mineral would be sulfur, and the vegetable would be the various colored snapdragon. Fascinating stuff.
Would you want your kitchen like that?
I don't know. These are all beautiful. I mean, let's face it. There's a reason that we ooh and ah over nature.
Over
so these are beautiful, yeah. Beautiful colors. Yeah. So sure.
I just remembered. I wanted to ask you a question. I had a question for you about the Richard Powers book.
Yeah.
And I think it's described in the book. One of the characters asked the other one, "When's the best time to plant a tree?"
Yeah.
Do you know the answer?
I don't recall. Oh, it was
20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, 20 years ago.
Right.
Because then you're well on your way.
Right.
Yeah.
Should have, woulda. Where are we up to? We're up to Patricia Hampel. Do you know her work? The art of Patricia Hampel's new book, The Art of the Wasted Day.
Oh. Okay.
Patricia.
Are we living that now, Matt? No.
We are working hard.
Okay,
no, we're playing hard.
This is a novel?
No, this is
okay.
This is a memoir, and she's a memoirist. The first time I ever came across Patricia Hampel, she wrote a book called I Could Tell You Stories about an anecdote that happened to her on a bus when she was maybe 19 years old. She ran into a couple. She didn't expect the behavior that she saw from this couple, and the woman sitting back in the bus next to her looked at the young man across outside who she had just said goodbye to, leans back in her seat, turns to Patricia and says, "I could tell you stories."
Oh,
and you're just off and running.
That's great.
So she is a person who understands that human nature looks for not just to accomplish, but to take a rest. And what does she say here? It's the job of being human, she says, is not figuring things out, but getting lost in thought.
A spirited inquiry into the lost value of leisure and daydream.
The yearning that many of us, no matter how busy, feel for time to ourselves to imagine, create, and simply be, to float, to depart, to rest. Paradoxically, she says, such private explorations often help people more readily connect with others.
Beautiful. It's The Art of the Wasted Day by Patricia Hampel. It is published by Viking.
Viking. She says she's a teacher up in St. Paul. And she teaches, and she has one of the anecdotes she relates is a student says to her in writing class, says, I got nothing. I'm from Fridley, Minnesota. And Patricia, his teacher says, you are in luck. Nobody's written about Fridley. It's all yours.
You own it. All right.
Next. Almost. And this is just delightful. This is
Yeah, we had her on, and she's, well, she is delightful. The book is delightful. I mean, it's scary, but it's delightful.
It's what you want to look at.
Yeah, it's called Natural Causes. It's by Barbara Ehrenreich, of course, the...
Nickel and Dimed. What's the subtitle here?
An Epidemic of Wellness, the Certainty of Dying and Killing Ourselves to Live Longer.
And the great cover illustration.
Is basically a skeleton doing on the treadmill.
On the treadmill.
Yeah.
So trying to kill ourselves, killing ourselves to try to live longer. And she's delightful. She's... What was the phrase? It's all good. And it's not all good. You know, you got to face what there is. Dying is a inevitable fact.
And she comes out of this after a cancer diagnosis and sort of rethinking all this and is looking at all the tests that they're making her take and just saying, for what? And it's a really interesting book about... about aging and being well. What is wellness, and the fact that, you know, eventually, no matter what you do, time is going to end.
So it kind of ties in with. I think she's saying, you know, we're not the overstory like Powers would say. We're the understory. The trees are going to outlive us.
That's right.
Unless we, you know, the ones we don't kill ourselves. But so I think it ties in with Powers in that he's this overarching, and Barbara Ehrenreich is saying the same thing. We're just passing through.
Well, it's a great, and it's very fun. She's funny. It's an enjoyable book to read. All right, we're just about out of time. What are we?
The only other thing I want to tell you, we're having a book party on Friday night for Marie Ohansian Narden, a romantic novel about an American woman who falls in love with a gondolier in Venice.
Oh, all right.
Friday night at 5:30.
And it's Beneath the Lion's Wings.
Beneath the Lion's Wings. And the only other thing I wanted to say was, you know, last time I was on, I talked about Russell Hoban and The Mouse and His Child.
Yes.
And I've been reading some of his other books now. And I just want to encourage people to find Russell Hoban. This is the one I just finished reading, Linger a While, a grown-up novel about an old guy who is in love with a long-dead black and white...
Cookie? I don't know. What?
movie star. From black and white movies.
An oldie.
And he convinces his friend...
A silent who, movie?
to take the video of this young cowgirl and using emulsifier and a suspension of disbelief to bring her back to life.
We're gonna talk about cheese next. Do you want to stay and have cheese with us?
I'll have a little cheese, absolutely.
We'd love to have you stay with us and have some cheese.
Okay.
All right, Matt's going to stay with us. When we come back, I'll tell you all about our cheese guest, and they got to get in here quick, and
okay.
I'll keep you where you are, and we'll be right back after this.